in 1 Peter 3 should not be simply a beautification of the outside of a person. And in this case, in 1 Peter 3, it is speaking to women. But I believe the principle applies to all people, men included. It says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on a fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You know, this is an issue that's been brought up many times throughout the ages, and I think that the answer is still the same and has been for a long time. You know, God is wanting us to be modest. God wants us to adorn ourselves in a manner that is simple, something that exemplifies our inward person rather than expresses our outward person's beauty. For our introduction, I want to propose to you that modesty is not just about dress. Modesty is more than that. It is a reflection of our hearts, and thus it is an issue of what we have in our hearts. Is it godly or is it fleshly? And that's the thing I want to draw our attention to this morning is it should be godly. God is holy. God desires servants who display that holiness in every way, in their heart, in their actions, in their clothing. It's something that is very difficult for some Christians to implement today, because most people today, the people we have around us most of the time, our co-workers, our relatives even, if they're not godly, if they're not Christians, then they're not going to have this attitude. And thus, they are going to do what pleases them best, what makes them look the best. But we should be holy, because God is holy and we are His chosen people. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and beginning in verse 13, says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ, of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. We are to maintain this holiness in everything that we do. 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 9 beginning. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have a job. Since we have been chosen, since we have been called, we are to proclaim the praises of Him who called us, of Him who chose us. We have to make sure that while our actions and our bodies usually fall in line, a lot of Christians nowadays have said one thing, but dress another way. We are to be clothed with humility. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and in verse 5 beginning, says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves. I think I've got the wrong verse written down. No, I don't. I keep going. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, you of all people, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. God likes to see people that are humble Not people that are flashy. Not people that are flamboyant. Not people that are proud. And it should be reflected in our dress on the outside as well. We should cultivate, as in verse 4, that quiet, that gentle and quiet spirit that is very precious in the eyes of God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Our inward adornment should reflect, as I said, to our outward adornment. It matters what we wear. Some people say it doesn't matter. Why should anybody care what we wear? And it doesn't affect them. It's my choice what I wear. No, that's right. But what we wear, what we choose, should profess godliness. Sometimes it don't. God has physical requirements, a dress code, if you will, for His servants. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 28 and verse 40. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 40. God describes the garments that His priests were to wear, that His closest people were to put on before they could come and serve Him. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 40 beginning says, "For Aaron's sons you shall make them tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. And you shall put them on Aaron and your brother and on the sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them that they may minister to me as priests. To cover their nakedness, they shall reach from the waist to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him." So they were to wear a tunic, which comes as a general definition. It comes from your shoulders down to your thigh. And they were also to have something underneath that to protect even further. God cares what His servants wear. And if you are going to be in a situation where you are serving God, you are professing God, then you need to dress appropriately. It matters how we dress because it can distract others' attention from God and it can cause a stumbling block for others. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And then, we've already read that. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 is to focus on the inward man, to draw more attention to God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Galatians 5 beginning in verse 13. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." We are to do all things in order to be able to serve God. We are also to love our neighbor as ourselves. We wouldn't want other people to distract us from God, to do things that would cause us to have problems. So we shouldn't do anything that would cause our neighbors to do the same as well. Turn with me also to Isaiah. This is describing the people of God. They fell away. They began to do as they pleased. They began to act in a haughty manner. And God is not pleased. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 16. Again, this refers to women, but it applies to all men. Isaiah 3 and verse 16, if I can get there. It says, "Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the heads of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves and the crescents, the pendants and the bracelets, the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments and the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms and the rings. the nose jewels, the festal apparel, the mantles, the outer garments, the purses and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans and the robes. And so it shall be that instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth. And branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. Her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit on the ground. God does not appreciate when His people begin to act in a manner as to parade themselves, to puff themselves up, to be disgraceful to His name, in other words. Turn with me also to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18 and verse 6 beginning. We must be careful in all aspects of our lives, not just modesty, to keep from placing a stumbling block in front of our brethren. Matthew 18, beginning in verse 6, it says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes." You know, we must be careful. It is a very important priority, and I think Christians forget that. They think that, why would it matter how I act toward my brother? Why does it affect you how I behave? Or why does it affect you the way I talk? Because you can offend somebody. You can cause someone to stumble. And it can be very, very detrimental for both of you. So, how can we be modest? How can we implement this? Just like we are known by our fruits, we must be careful of how we dress because it says something about us. In Proverbs chapter 7, the way this woman dressed, the way this woman acted, labeled her as a harlot. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10, it says, "And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner." This describes a woman that is not behaving in a manner that is well-pleasing, that is modest. This is a woman that behaves in a manner where people knew what she was trying to accomplish. We need to be careful of that. We must behave in the exact opposite manner. Again, another reference to this, Genesis chapter 38. Genesis chapter 38, beginning, it describes what Tamar did. Genesis 38 and verse 14, it says, "So she took off her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place which was on the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown and she was not given him as a wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot because she had covered her face." The manner in which this woman dressed denoted, and if you'll notice, two different things. The first garment she was wearing denoted she was a widow. You can be told what you are, how you act, by your dress. It can be expressing things to people. And then she changed her clothes. She changed the way she dressed, and what was assumed? She was a harlot. You can affect people's judgment of you by the way you dress. And some parts of our body, as expressed earlier and also in the New Testament, should be covered. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 there. It talks about the church here mainly, but it describes the way the Lord built the body as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 23 says, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care one for another. God made the body to be different, and that parts of it are not presentable, and that we must keep them covered. Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47. It says in verse 2 beginning, it says, "Take the millstones and grind meal. Remove your veil. Take off the skirt. Uncover the thigh. Pass through the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame will be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not arbitrate with a man." God says that it is shameful to uncover the thigh. It is shameful to be naked. That's something that this day and age, this culture has long since abandoned. There is no shame. There is not anyone out there that would blush if you were to uncover their nakedness in that manner. You know, I'm sure that the younger ones that haven't been completely devoured yet, that they might would, but a grown person is doubtful. Christians must be different. We are priests. We are holy. We must dress accordingly. Leviticus chapter 16, it describes how the priest must dress. Again, Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 3 beginning says, "Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of the young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put on a holy linen tunic and linen trousers on his body, and he shall be girded with a linen sash, and with a linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. Then he could go into the Lord and worship and serve Him." He had to be attired properly. Galatians chapter 5 again brings out a manner in which we can begin to build our attitude to be able to dress properly. It's not so much about what we wear now, but our attitude and how we pick those things that we wear. In verse 16 it says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another." "So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." We must be careful how we conduct ourselves. We must be careful how we dress ourselves. We must not be portrayed as lewd. We must not be portrayed as someone who does not care how she appears or he appears to others. Ephesians chapter 4. Turn with me there to Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 1. It says, "I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you therefore, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." We have God in us. He should show. So my conclusion, do you think about what you wear? Do you put thought into what you are wearing before you leave your house? And if you do, do you think about what your clothes say about you? Do you think about how you appear to other people? Do you consider other people's feelings other people's needs in your decisions about what you wear? Or are you only interested in what feels good or what looks good to you? What do your clothes say about your relationship with God? And it can say a lot. Just like Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10 did not revere God, did not hold Him in high enough regard to keep His altar holy, we can do the same with our clothing. We can forget that we must be priests, that we must be holy, and God will not accept those people that profane His temple, which we are. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1 beginning says, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, 'This is what the Lord spoke, saying, By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified.' If you do not glorify God with your dress, if you go out dressed in a manner, and this applies to everyone, if you dress in a manner that looks just like everybody else, and yet you're saying, 'I'm supposed to be holy,' it's not going to work. You're going to have a negative effect on God's influence in the world, which is through you. You must make every decision with in regards to however you live your life. You must make it in that manner as to profess holiness, to regard God as holy, and you are His servant and must act accordingly. So I ask you this morning to consider how you dress, to consider how you act, and make sure that it is with modesty, make sure that it is with respect for God and His calling. And I appreciate your attention. I appreciate your patience. And if there is anything that I said this morning that is not presenting God's Word in a manner that is well-pleasing or to God, or if there is anything that has been misconstrued or misapplied, please let me know. I too strive to keep everything that I do in accordance to God's will. To be holy, for He is holy. If there is anyone here who would like to correct a sin, or if there is anyone here who would like to become a new child of God, if either is the case, if you would come forward while we stand and sing, we will do our best to assist you.